from the Gospel of John in chapter 13, verse 31 and following. Listen with me for the word of the Lord. When he had gone out, Jesus said to them, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. The five W's and the H. Probably a familiar strategy to some of you in the legal profession, or maybe our friends in law enforcement or journalism, perhaps those researching in education, could tell us more in-depthly their dependence upon the five W's and the H. The who, what, why, when, where, why, and how of investigation. I've heard teachers introduce that concept to their students at the earliest ages of how to prepare a research paper. Answer those basic questions, they'll say, and you'll have the roots for solving many questions in the subject you're searching for. This is traced back, the who, what, why, when, where, and how, to the days of Aristotle. Did you know that? He introduced this concept of research and investigation and problem solving. And the interesting thing about the five W's and the H is that none of those questions can be answered with yes or no. You have to give a little more in-depth consideration to the depths of the questions. Well, in our text today, I'm convinced that in this small passage of Scripture shared with us by the gospel writer John, that there is a model for the five W's that introduce us even more fully to the life that Christ would have us to live as his disciples, as his followers. The first W that I think our Scripture introduces us to this morning is, what are we called to do as Christian people? What is the essence of our faith as followers of one called Jesus of Nazareth? Well, in our passage here today, in verse 34, Jesus proclaims what we're called to do when he says, "I give you a new commandment, and here it is. This is what you do, that you love one another. By this, our Lord says, by your love, the world around you will know that you are my disciples, that you are my followers, if you have love for one another." What are we called to do? We, dear church, we're called to love. It's the essence of our faith. So if that's what we would all agree upon as being central to our faith, as Jesus was also asked in Matthew 22, where it was said, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said this again: "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Surely we as Christians can unify and celebrate that great call upon our life to love. So if we're agreeing there today in our first step of research and problem solving as Christian people, it presents for us another question. What does it mean to love? What is this love that our Lord calls us to? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us a great example, a description of love in what has been so famously recorded as the love chapter, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, that many of us are familiar with, where Paul describes this love in this way. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love is not insisting upon its own ways, but it insists upon the truth. Wow. I don't know about you, but it's hard to love like that. To be patient, to be kind. Sometimes it's those that we're closest to that we find it hardest to exemplify that love to. This is the call of our faith. The what we are to be about as Christian people is indeed love. But the second W of our faith, what we consider today, is the when do you love? Not only are we called to love, but we must consider, if we are going to walk in the steps of Jesus, when do we love? Well, in our scripture today, in verse 31, it began with these words, when he had gone out, Jesus said. Now, I don't know about you, when I hear a statement like that, I have to back up in the text and I say, who is the he that the writer is talking about? And it doesn't take very long that we see that he is referencing the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. When Judas had gone out, it was then that Jesus said, this is the time to love. You know, it would have been tempting for Jesus. It would have been tempting for him to not love Judas up until the point of his rejection. But even though knowing that his betrayer was at hand, Jesus still chose love even for him and the other disciples that would ultimately fail him. So when do we love, dear church? I'm sad to say this morning that we love even when it's hardest to love. We love when it's not easy. We love when we don't want to love. We love always. That's when we love. The third W of our text, after we consider what our faith is about, love, and when we are to love always, we consider together today, well, why do we love? That's the next W of our five W's. Why is love so central to our faith? Why is that call from on high and that commission from our Lord Jesus for us to model him through love? Lord, why love? I was so inquisitive as a young child. My parents they nicknamed me Why, because I always wanted to know. Why have you always got to ask, Jody? Just do it. But I wanted to know. Well, in our text today, we receive an answer of why we're called to love. Our scripture tells us here in beginning at the end of verse 31 and continuing through 32, listen to it again with me. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. And if God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. I don't know about y'all. I don't catch on real quickly, but I'm hearing a consistent theme in those two verses, aren't you? It's revolving around glorifying the Lord. Why do we love? We love, dear church, to bring glory to our Lord above. We love, dear church, as being good Presbyterians who believe that the chief end of humanity is to what? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Your granddaughter knows that. The first question of the catechism, Barbara. What is the chief end of us? It's for God's glory. We, dear church, we love. Why do we love? For the glory of the one who made us and saved us and claimed us as His own. Then the next W of faith is, where do we love? Verse 33 in our text tells us this. Little children, I'm with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I've said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. See, what I hear the Lord saying in this passage, He is about to depart, right, from His disciples. He's preparing them. This is the passage of Scripture. His last message, church, to His friends before His betrayal, His crucifixion, and ultimate resurrection to heaven. His last message. And He's saying, where I'm going, you can't go now, but I still need you to do something, right? I'm leaving. I need you to stay. And what do I need you to do? I need you to love. So you know what I'm hearing here? Where do we love? Hear it with me and receive it with me, church. We love where Jesus isn't present. We love a world in need. We love outside of the walls of this sanctuary, where we introduce His love to a broken world around us. A world crippled with addictions, as we reach out with our mission commitment. Thank you, church. Thank you, session, for your leadership, saying we want to make a difference in this community. We want to love where Christ is not present. That's the fourth W of our faith. The Great Commission proclaims it to us, right? Even after Jesus' resurrection, He said, go and make disciples among you wherever and whoever needs my love. The final W of our faith today and of our love, I think, is the question here. And perhaps in many ways the most difficult question. Who do you love? Such a deep question. Someone once wrote a song about it, didn't they, Vince? Who do you love? I don't even know whose song that was, but who do we love as Christian people? Friends, in this passage of Scripture today, let's remember the setting. Jesus is preaching and teaching primarily to His inner circle, the 12. His last message to them, those, well, let's just say it, this motley crew of people of faith. They're such a diverse people. A strange lot. They were made up of the likes of Simon the Zealots. The Zealots were so committed in their faith to be against the Roman authority, they wouldn't pay their taxes. They wanted Rome kicked out. Their vision of the Messiah was an earthly reign where Judaism would reign supremely and the king would be restored in Jerusalem. That was the Zealots. And into this group, Jesus also invites and introduces Matthew, the tax collector. Can you imagine the tension in the room? Can you imagine the conversations, the disagreements that they must have had, these diverse groups of people, but yet Jesus, our Lord, chose for them to be the very leaders of His church. Who do we love? We love those who it's hard to love. We love those from whom we disagree. We love those who the world may look upon as outcasts and unworthy of our love. We love them. We love those who are different. Jesus welcomed them into His church. He called them as His leaders. Perhaps not in spite of their differences, but maybe, dear church, because of their differences. You know, I celebrate our diversity. At Ripley Presbyterian, when I'm meeting with a new family that's considering becoming members or being a part of our church, I say, you know, we're a melting pot. We have Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Roman Catholics, and I've just named the denominations that are here today. That's who we are. And you know, I'm convinced when we get to heaven, there's going to be some people there a little bit more liberal than us. And there's going to be some people there a little more conservative than us. And when we get there, it's not going to matter a whole lot. Let's celebrate and love those from who we differ, those who even it's hard to love. Isn't it? Isn't it inspiring and yet challenging that when Jesus was asked that very question, Lord, who is my neighbor? Who do I love? He said, well, there was this Samaritan. And he was sick. And he was injured. And he was an outcast. He was one who should have been overlooked and passed by, Pat. But yet the one who loved him was his neighbor. Love. Because the world needs to see Jesus. We love because we need to glorify the Lord above. We love even when it's hard to love because that is how He loved us, even when we were at our worst. So the last question today is, how do we love? Preacher, this is heavy stuff. As Monya and I were reflecting on this sermon this morning, she gets to hear it twice, just so y'all know. So she goes to sleep. Give her a pass. Give her a pass. She said, that's hard. It's hard to love like that. How do we do it? You know, as I was reflecting on that question this morning, I was thinking about a photo that Robert and Sharon had given me once. It's in my study. Beautiful photo that I think Robert took with his iPhone or some type of phone. He was in the top of the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. I've shared this story with some of you all, but it was a very moving experience and spoken profoundly on my faith journey. Some of you probably have ventured up to the top of the Gateway Arch. And I have been up there before. One time. And that's all I ever planned to go. One time. They put you in this Mork and Mindy egg type thing and run you up there, Risa. And then that's the good part. Now, I hadn't gotten to the bad part yet. The bad part is once you get up there on top and you're looking out the window, you feel the movements. You feel the swaying in the wind. I could not get back in that egg quick enough and back down to the bottom. I just knew that arch was going to topple upon itself in any minute. You know what? Somehow, miraculously, it didn't fall that day. And it's still standing today. We see my friends in engineering and science, they would tell me, wouldn't they, Benton, that the movement of the arch, the flexibility, the give and take is a good thing. If it were to be so rigid and firm that it was unwilling to be moved just a bit by what's happening around it, then it would surely topple upon itself. How do we love? We be willing to embrace those with a little bit of flexibility that Jesus the Christ embraced us with. Friends, more than our opinions, more than what we're against as Christian people, what Jesus wants from us most of all is what we're for. Are we people of love and willing to love the world around us to His glory? Amen.